Church is made up of all kinds of people, old and young, male and female, like you and unlike you. But the church isn't just human. The church has a spirit, God's spirit, in each believer. And God's spirit gives each person different gifts and different ways to serve, so we all can be built up in love. Let's open up 1 Corinthians to see how God has equipped us to live in spiritual community.
Well, good morning, my friends. It is so fun to be here with you. Last night, between the hours of 7 and 10 p.m., I had the privilege of sitting with my wife and two sons, watching in person the Denver Broncos destroy the San Francisco 49ers. Amen. Yeah, let's give praise. But you got to understand, I was born in Colorado. I have every excuse to be a diehard Denver Broncos fan. At the end of the day, it's just a game, right? But about halfway through the game, I am just screaming my heart out and passionate because we're doing really well. And things are happening. And my wife looks over and goes, "You are preaching in the morning." So from then on, it was, yeah. Anyway, so if I get a few kind of pubescent screeches here along the way, just understand that's what's happening here. I get a big privilege this morning, and that is to begin a conversation over the next several weeks about the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you're like me, but I grew up in a fairly conservative household. You had God the Father and God the Son, and that was good enough, right? The Holy Spirit was a little weird. And there were those people that manifested the Spirit and were like, well, we're not going to be like them, so the Holy Spirit's just this, we'll kind of keep the Holy Spirit over here in this box and everything should be fine. And Barna even did a survey not too long ago, and he found that of us, 90% of us pray to God, 50% of us pray to Jesus, and only 23% of us pray to the Holy Spirit. And so in general, the believer kind of has this interesting relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that it maybe not so personal as the Holy Spirit should be. For me, I was 14 years old, and in my family was exposed to some problems. And as a 14-year-old, I thought my parents' marriage was pretty much done, and I thought that our world that I understood to be very normal and very good and very well was kind of starting to crash down. And so as a freshman in high school, I remember one night lying in my bed, crying out to God and saying, "God, please help me. I can't handle this anymore." And clear as day, it wasn't James Earl Jones' voice, but I felt like God was telling me, Clifford, because back then I was Clifford, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm in control. Everything is going to be okay. And that night, without me knowing it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And in that evening, I remember it began in me a theology of understanding the sovereignty of God. That no matter what would happen in life, it was going to be okay. Whether my parents' marriage was restored or not, it was going to be okay. Whether years later I would have a friend who would be brutally murdered at the hands of his employee, it was going to be okay. When I myself would lose my second child, it was going to be okay. And I knew that because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that at a moment when I was 14 years old. And would go on to say that many more times. And I hope that we can walk away from this series, not just knowing about the Holy Spirit, but being able to experience hearing the Holy Spirit and acting upon what the Holy Spirit is saying. And living that out and living the vibrant life that comes. We sing this song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I got to tell you a little secret. I don't like that song. I think it's bad theology. I don't need to tell God he can show up. He's welcome anytime he wants. I don't have to give God permission. And yet for some of us, and by the way, I'm the one that requested that this song be sung this morning. Okay? Just let's clear that right now. And yet, there are a lot of us that have closed a door to the Holy Spirit. And we need to open that door and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You are welcome to speak to me. You are welcome to speak through me. It's okay. And so this is going to be a journey together as we head through 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. And we look at the context of this passage, and Paul is writing about unity in the body. And then he's talking, I loved last week's message on worship and what true worship can look like in our body. And Paul is giving all kinds of instructions. And the people have written him a letter. This church has written him a letter previously and said, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And several things. And Paul responds to them and he says, let's talk about it. I think he makes a bold statement by even speaking on this in 1 Corinthians, because he's basically revealing right now that God's Spirit indwells all believers, not just a few special ones, because this church at Corinth has undoubtedly heard about what happened at Pentecost, and they heard about this fire that fell on the church, and they heard about people speaking in all kinds of tongues, and they heard about a lot of different things, and suddenly I think they started to get this idea that there were those that got this special bit from God, and maybe those that didn't. And so Paul's making a bold statement. He goes, nobody's extra special here. Guess what? We all followers of Christ receive the Holy Spirit. And so he starts with this. He says, now about gifts of the Spirit. Now about is implying that they had asked him in the previous letter. And then he says, gifts of the Spirit. This is not the same word that's going to be used a little bit later. In the Greek, it's this word, pneumatikon, spiritual things. Now about spiritual things. It's actually an adjective that's here. And so now about things that are spiritual, okay? He's going to talk about gifts and spiritual gifts here in a minute. But right now he's like, we're just going to have a general conversation about spiritual things. He says, brothers. Now about spiritual things, brothers. And if you read it in the today's NIV, it is brothers and sisters. It says, Paul wants to make this personal. I have a friend that works here on staff here at the church. His name is Hamid. Anyone know Hamid? Yeah, we know Hamid. Now, Hamid will walk into my office and I say, good morning, Hamid. Good morning, sir. He goes, oh, Cliff. You do not call me sir, you call me brother. I am your brother. You are my brother. You do not call me sir. And we had this, I got permission to say this. And so we had this conversation that when I am your brother, when we are brothers and sisters together, we are friends, we are family. Sir, that means too much respect. My brother, my family. And it's that same. And Hamid comes from a Middle Eastern culture. So think about this for a second. Paul, in a Middle Eastern culture, is saying, brothers and sisters, brothers, friend, family, we're going to have a little conversation. But I love you. This is a shoulder conversation. My arms around your shoulder. I love you. I'm going to kind of draw you along here. It says, I don't want you to be uninformed. My NIV version says ignorant. I don't want you to be without knowledge of this. I don't want you to be uninformed. That obviously this church had been getting some bad information. And I think Paul probably was getting ready to say to them, listen, if this issue continues to be a problem, our church could have some problems in the long term with unity. Has the church of Jesus Christ had some problems with unity surrounding the issue of the Holy Spirit? I think we have. And so this is a great conversation to have and a great place to embrace Paul putting his arms around the church in Corinth and saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. You need to know what's going on here. Verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced or led astray by mute idols. Notice those two words, mute idols. Idols that cannot talk back. You're worshiping this thing, this inanimate object, and it does nothing for you. And yet, he's preparing a contrast, a comparison and a contrast, versus the Holy Spirit, who speaks to you and through you. And so this is not just an idol, an inanimate object that doesn't speak back. This is the Holy Spirit. And it is going to be, he is going to be active and alive. I love this. And so he says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit or in the power of Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. It's impossible. You cannot have the Holy Spirit in you and say, Jesus is cursed. And then he says, but no one can say Jesus is Lord from their hearts. I mean, anybody can say those words. But nobody can truly say that from their hearts except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? And this can be a little hard for some of us that are so used to gathering together with a body of believers that believes exactly the same way we do. Because, you know, there are some people down the street that have a little bit different theology. Just a little bit. But they say Jesus is Lord. And God's doing really great things in their church. And there are some people up the street, a few miles up on the right. And they say Jesus is Lord. And God's doing great things in that church. And there are some people down the freeway on the left and on the right. And they say Jesus is Lord. And God's doing great things in the church. And the thing is, we can't get stuck to going, my exact understanding of how the Holy Spirit works and every single little thing is exactly right. I don't have it all figured out. But I know this, God is doing something incredible in the church. And the only reason he's able to, well, he's doing it because he's God. But part of that is he's bringing unity into the body of Christ through the believers and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, am I excited about this? Yes, I am. Am I nervous about this? Yes, I am, because it gets controversial at some point along the way. But we'll just go there. Actually, you know what? I'll wait and let Derek deal with the controversy. He's way better than that. I don't know how someone pulled off last week's passage. And anyway, that's another story for another day. Loved it. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And so here we go. This is now the word for gifts that is charismaton, which is what we know as charismatic. These are spectacular gifts. There are different kinds of gifts that are of the Holy Spirit. And so this is where we understand this phrase spiritual gifts is from this word that is in this verse. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. I love that this word charismaton Charis means grace. Think about that for a second. Think about the grace, the undeserved gift. When we receive the gifts from God, the spiritual gifts from God, guess what? You didn't earn it. You're not all that great. You're not. Sorry. You tell our kids how wonderful they are, but they didn't deserve it, did they? No. God chose to give us gifts undeserved through His grace. And they're different. There are varieties of those gifts. God's grace is completely undeserved. It cannot be earned. It should be noted that these are truly they're gifts, undeserved and apportioned as the giver determines. We do nothing here. He does everything. Okay? And so a lot of times we're like, ooh, I want that gift. That one's more fun. Oh, that one's a cool gift. Instead, this other one, administration. Boring. I want the fun gifts. But what Paul says, he said, there are many kinds of gifts. Let's go back to that previous slide. But the same Spirit distributes them. The same Spirit. It's about unity. Spiritual gifts are not reserved for certain special people. They're not. They should never be a source of pride when compared with others. And they should be considered something that we shepherd and that we grow. And so in the same way that a shepherd takes care of their flock of sheep, we get to shepherd these gifts that God gives us. Verse 5 and 6. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Christ is empowering us. Different kinds of gifts of service. But Christ is empowering us to serve. And therefore, when we're serving, it's done through God's power and not ours. Because, let me tell you what. I'm one of those, when that book, The Five Love Languages, came out, I read that and I'm like, I am words of affirmation. I love to be affirmed. I love to be told, Cliff, you're doing such a great job. But you know what? The truth be told, if God's using that gift, He's the one that's doing the great job. I'm just along for the ride. It's also important to note that there's an implication that these gifts are provided for the purpose of service and not for my edification, not for my glorification. They are for God's glorification. And for Him to do a work in the body and beyond. That's why He gives us these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Why? For the common good. Exactly what we were just saying. This gift is not here to make me feel good about myself. This gift is not given to me to make me have a good, quiet time. This gift is not given to me so that I can have an amazing understanding of God. This gift is given to me so that the common, the body, will do well. So that, think about this. When Christ left the earth behind, He left behind His people, His church, to do His work. And the only way that was going to be possible is if He left His Spirit in us, meaning Him in us, to do that great work. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Nothing about us, everything about God's kingdom work. Manifestation, the root of this is revealing or appearing. And at the foundation of all of this, the Holy Spirit is showing up. It's not even about the gift itself. It's about the Holy Spirit. And I think that might be one of our problems in the church, is sometimes we get so focused on these specific gifts, we miss out on the big picture of what God, through the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing. I'm going to quote our pastor here for a second. We had a great spirited discussion about this week. He says this: if we don't believe in revelation in some way, then why do we pray? If we don't believe that God is going to reveal himself in the supernatural, then why do we bother praying? Okay? We all believe in the Bible, but God is not a book. I love that. And so now we get to the nitty-gritty of it. We have 15 minutes. Let's get to the nitty-gritty of it. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between the spirits. And to another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another the interpretation of tongues. You know what? Let's just strike that. I don't think we need to deal with that today. Thank you. Thank you for hearing. No, we'll deal with it. Okay. We have wisdom. We have knowledge. Do any of you know someone who's wise? I have some wise people in my life. And when they speak, it's like, and usually the wise people are the ones that don't talk a lot. It's like the wise old owl that lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Now why can't we all be like that wise old bird? Do you know? Okay, true story. This was a plaque in our kitchen when I was 5 years old. I memorized that when I was five. I haven't seen that thing since. But wisdom. The wisdom in that person that has that uncanny ability to observe and to see all these things that happen and to make extrapolations and interpretation from there, that, like, where did that come from? That's amazing. That's a gift. Knowledge. I have people that just know so much stuff. How did you gain all that knowledge? That's by the power, the means of not a different spirit that's just the special spirit of knowledge. No, this is the same Holy Spirit that gave that other person wisdom. And it gives somebody faith, faith that says, you know what, it's going to be okay. Faith that says, we can go not just here, we can go there and there, and we can go places that are far beyond. When I worked at Hume Lake, I got to hear the story of this group of businessmen that decided to start the camp. And they went and they saw this location that was about a half a mile from where the current camp location is. And when they went there, this man's name was Herman Pettit, prayer warrior Herman Pettit. And Herman Pettit looked at the land that they were going to potentially purchase, and he said, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. Well, how big does it need to be? It needs to be big enough to hold 500 people. Okay, and so they went over and they looked at this other piece, and it was like, that's it. That's it, because God's going to bring to this camp 500 people. So the first day the camp hits 500 in attendance. And you know what? I don't know what that exact number was. I just made that up. It was probably bigger. But the first day that the camp hit this attendance number, Herman Pettit is sitting on this bridge right in the center of camp, and he's crying. And someone came up to him and said, what's going on, Herman? Why are you crying? He says, my biggest regret in life is I did not have enough faith. Because God's doing more, way more, the gift of faith. To same spirit, that's the same spirit as the gift of knowledge, the same spirit as the gift of wisdom. To another, gifts of healing by that spirit. I believe in healing. It's never happened to me personally that I know of, but I believe in it. Because why on earth would I believe in a God that doesn't heal? Right? Why would I bother praying if I don't believe in a God that heals? That's weird. And so if God decides to give somebody a miraculous gift to be able to pray over someone and that person is healed, I'm good. I'm good. He gets the credit. Not me, not that person. Distinguishing healing, miraculous powers, same thing. Prophecy, that ability to speak truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone told me one time, Cliff, you have the gift of prophecy. I'm like, oh boy, no, no, please don't tell me that. That's too much responsibility with that. But maybe God has gifted me that way. Maybe we've misunderstood what that means. We're not talking about necessarily some new special revelation, but maybe it's an interpretation or an understanding of the scripture in a way that somebody will understand. Maybe it's the ability to speak to somebody and the words that God is speaking through that person is piercing through to their hearts, to that person's heart. And those are prophetic utterances that are going out. I believe in a God that can put prophetic utterances through a voice. My voice? That's scary. But I believe in that God. And so with that, I still agree. It's the same thing. I have a great friend who is amazing at being able to discern when something is a spiritual battle or when something is just someone being kind of lame. But the power of darkness is so alive and real. And probably the reason we don't see it even more here in our culture in the United States is because we are so comfortable and we have it so good that the enemy doesn't have to show himself that way. He has other ways through our selfishness and through our apathy to show up. And so he doesn't have to manifest himself that way. And yet it is so real. And so with that, tongues, I think that there are many that come from my theological point of view that would say tongues have ceased. That somebody speaking in this other language that might be unrecognizable, that doesn't exist anymore in this age. And I have some theology professors from college and seminary that I respect dearly that believe that. I don't necessarily see why. They could have stopped for a period of time, but my evidence is that it's probably still here. It's probably still going on. It's definitely going on at another church down the street. And we'll get to later in this what that is supposed to look like when that's manifested in the church. Because obviously sometimes that ends up in chaos. But I think that probably exists today. And the interpretation of those tongues. And that's great. That's great that God would choose to manifest himself. And again, I'll let the theologians get into exactly what this is talking about in the next few weeks. Because it's more fun to just stir up the pot and then walk away from it. But the key here, verse 11, is these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as he determines. The same Spirit, it's God who's working through the Spirit that determines the gift to whomever he chooses. My mom is fantastic. She loves to give gifts. But sometimes she gives $200 to this grandchild and she gives Pokemon to this grandchild. It's not the same. But that's her will. She can determine what she wants to give. And God can give his gifts just as he determines. I'm not saying he's going to give you Pokemon. That's awful. But this is the thing. With spiritual gifts, it's not a wedding registry, people. We don't get to sign up and say, I want this one, this one, this one. Beep, 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 beep. I'm just going to beep, 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 beep the whole store. No. And then you get your gifts after the wedding. You're like, I got this, I got this, I got everything I asked for. It's awesome. I didn't get this, so I better hope to get some gift cards so I can get some. No. The spiritual gifts that God gives is not a registry. It's just simply God giving us the gifts in the way that he would want to, as he determines. And so we close with this, 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. This is what a passage that I believe God placed on my heart in regard to this. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. Through the laying on of my hands, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, self-discipline. Fan into flame. One of the things I love to do is I love to start fires, and I'm not talking about pyro, that. No, I am talking about starting a little campfire in my backyard. And inevitably, I run out of newspaper. You know, you pile up the newspaper underneath, pile the newspaper. I'm not a Boy Scout, so I don't rub the sticks. But then I get the little tiny sticks, and I put those around just above the newspaper, and then I get the little larger ones, and I kind of put those, and then I have the larger ones, and then I kind of have this teepee thing going on, and I light that paper down there, and inevitably I'm just getting down there on my knees, and right? And that's, I'm getting tired because I really am still inhaling smoke. And so then the next thing I do is you get something else and you're like, right? You're fanning it. And suddenly that thing comes up and then it starts to dim again. Okay, I got to keep fanning this. It's exactly what God wants us to do with our gifts, to fan them into flame. Because when that oxygen comes and is provided onto the fire that's starting to start, that's just going to make that fire grow. A fire needs oxygen. And fanning that thing into flame, that gives it oxygen to start to burn and to start to grow. And then to get to the point, and this is what I love, is when you get that amazing bed of coals eventually, because that thing is so hot that it just sits there on its own. And you could come back a day later, and you know what? If you dig a little bit, you're going to find some coals still burning. And then all you have to do is fan those into flame a little, and it pops right up. Have you ever done that? I have. Whether you have or not, I have. And that same Spirit that we fan into flame, that's just our job, to fan it into flame. That's the same Spirit that doesn't let us be timid, that gives us power, that gives us love, that gives us self-discipline or a sound mind. And I tell Hume Lake stories because that's where I worked for 15 years. So you're stuck with them. But the first day I was working in high school camp at Hume Lake years ago, I'll never forget. I'm 26 years old at the time. And as a 26-year-old, they're like, all right, Cliff, you're in charge of all the discipline and the high school camp and running the schedule. You're in charge. Just have fun. Okay, sure. That sounds fun. And the first day of camp, it's Sunday afternoon, it's about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I look down the street, down the road, and here comes the first bus. The first bus of summer, and I get goosebumps, and I'm like, they're here, and I'm like, oh, they're here. They're here. And you see this bus pull around, and it's filled with 50 high school students, intimidating as can be. They know the culture better than me. They know what's cool better than I do. And who am I? I'm this 26, 27-year-old yahoo in their eyes. What do I have to offer them? And again, James Earl Jones wasn't here, but it was as though I heard the voice of God saying, Cliff, I have something to offer them through you. Get on that bus. And that bus pulls up, and I run up on that bus, and I said, welcome to Hume Lake. We are so glad to have you. I'm not that kind of person. I kind of am now, but that's not who I was then. It's not. That's not who I was. And I got on there, and it's like, it is so good to have you people at camp. God is going to do something great in your life. Where'd that come from? And I watched God work. And He gave me the confidence to say, it's not you, Cliff, but I'm going to do something through you. Fast forward several years. 7.5 years ago, our daughter passes away. And in going through the process of grief, you have a lot of different emotions and you have a lot of different things that come up in that process. And I woke up one morning and I said, God, you do not love me. I know 100% this morning that you do not love me. And I got up and I went to work. And I got to work and I opened my email. And there's an email from a buddy of mine. Lives in Bakersfield. Hadn't talked to him in a while. He says, Cliff, I was driving to work this morning and I just felt like I needed to tell you that God loves you. Wow. Then we had this visual voicemail thing on our computer, and I see this voicemail that's showing up from a guy that I used to work with. And I click on the voicemail. Cliff, I just felt compelled to give you a call and let you know God loves you. Then the coup de grace, no, pièce de résistance. I got a Facebook message from a guy named Dewey Bertolini. Anyone know that name? All right. Anyway, great guy. Dewey sends me this message. Cliff, for some reason I was led today to send you a message to let you know. This is what happens when you let the Holy Spirit speak to you and you act on obedience. It's not for their good, it was for mine. It was for my good that day that the Holy Spirit spoke to three different men and later one other that would just walk into my office and go, Cliff, you've been on my heart today. So that's what happens when you're obedient. And you may not see the direct results of that obedience, but I guarantee you it is affecting somebody else. So don't be disobedient. When the Holy Spirit says to you, go talk to that person, go talk to that person. Because they need to do it. There's a message for them through you. John 14:26 describes the Holy Spirit as the comforter. That God is the Holy Spirit comforts us. The Spirit is described as one that speaks on our behalf when we don't know what to pray. I needed to talk to someone the other day and I was scared to death and I was trying to plot out everything that I was supposed to say. And I just said, okay, God, Holy Spirit, this one's yours. I'm not going to plan this one out. Would you please speak? And it was an amazing conversation. And so I invite you to join me on a journey of listening to the Holy Spirit, obeying the Holy Spirit, being united as a body, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in different gifts in each one of us that are for the common good as together we fan them into flame. And so what do we do with all this? The final thing here I want to show you is we have... Pastor Greg has prepared, kind of compiled a number of different things. And this is a little handout that you're going to see. It's called Discover Your Strengths. And it's a spiritual gifts workbook. We're actually going to have some seminars that you can go through to go through this. But we are going to ask/expect of you to take one of these when you leave today. We would ask if you'd be willing to donate $2 to cover the cost of printing. And if you don't have that, that's fine. We'd rather you take it. And you can take a spiritual gifts assessment that's in here. I've taken assessments. How many of you have taken a spiritual gifts assessment? They're great. Sometimes they're overwhelming. This one is fairly simple. I took it last night. I get to put zeros, ones, twos, and threes. And at the end of it all, you kind of add everything up, and it said, "You, Cliff, you have the gifts of wisdom and pastor/shepherd. Well, that's cool. And it goes on. We would really encourage you to grab these. And there's even more. There's some part about personality. And then this is the crazy one. Is at the end, we're going to ask you, after you've filled it out, to actually turn it in. The one page that says what all these things are. And we're going to compile that. Why are we going to do that? Because we're Big Brother and we want to know everything about you. No, for the common good. Right? Because we want to know if there's someone who is strong in mercy, and I hate to tell you, I didn't do very well in mercy. But if there's someone that's strong in that we can get, someone with gifts of helps to plug in this or that area to help this specific thing that's happening. So we'd invite you to join us on this journey. You can pick those up out here. Next week we'll be talking more about what that looks like to go through that book a little more in depth. Next thing I have as we close is, let's stop, leave that slide up, go back to prayer. Let's pray, and then I'll have two final announcements. Here we go. Father, Holy Spirit, you are good, faithful, loving, sovereign God. Thank you for choosing to allow us to be the pathway of your voice in this world today. As Jesus is not on this earth physically, that you leave us here to speak through the power of your Spirit. And I pray that we as a congregation would learn to hear your voice through your Spirit and to act on that and to speak those words of truth and love that need to be spoken. And so, Father, we commit ourselves as a body for the common good, Lord, to live in the power of your Spirit. And we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.